1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 1 verse 18, it says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks. Father, we praise your name. We glorify you today. As we've already said, we've been singing praises to your name, thanking you for what you do for us. Father, we thank you for what you have done in Paul's life and answering prayer, and he's cancer-free. Father, we thank you for the song that Marie just shared with us. Father, that we would be in your will so that we would get out of your way. Father, we want to give you thanks. Yes, we give you thanks for the good things of life, for all the blessings you give us. But Father, we also are commanded to give you thanks, even when things don't go so well, even when things may not go like we had planned or what we want. Father, help us to be thankful for all things. Help us, Father, to give you thanks. For Father, we know that all things are there because of your will and what you want for us. And we ask it all in Jesus' blessed name. Amen. In all things, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus, which concerns you. Life is not always easy, amen? Accidents happen, illnesses occur, financial setbacks come our ways, difficult relationships, even the death of a loved one. I was looking at the news the other day, and I don't understand the mindset of someone who would have the wherewithal to take a few guns and some hand grenades and blow up a mosque where people are doing nothing but just worshiping. Now, yes, I'm not an Islam or Muslim, but it's just something is wrong with this. And death comes, and even the deaths that we've had here in the United States of last month, the shootings in Las Vegas and the shootings at those two churches, we get to have our life go on, but somewhere in America, several people were having to have Thanksgiving without loved ones. All of these things happen. Life is not easy. Trials such as these can leave us reeling and even praying for relief. But true faith in all of us responds with something that might be and seem surprising. And that something is, we should respond with thanksgiving. The Bible says that it is God's will that we give thanks in all circumstances. And thankfulness is this indication that we have amongst us that shows that we are truly filled with the Holy Spirit of God. You know, today we live oftentimes in a thankless society, in a thankless age. It is often very difficult for us to rise above the encroaching, the powerful culture that surrounds us. There are people now who have more than they have ever had in their lives, but because they don't have everything they want, they breed this terrible kind of thanklessness. If we as Christians are to avoid falling into that same pattern, we need to be mindful and remind ourselves over and over and over again that the New Testament commands us to be thankful in all things. In our scripture passage for today, the Apostle Paul simply says very directly, no exceptions, no excuses, nothing is outside that parameter, to give thanks in everything. No matter what the situation, we are to find a reason to thank God. This morning I want to explore this rather profound characteristic trait of giving thanks in all things. First of all, we need to understand gratitude should be normal to the Christian. How does this thankfulness happen? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians in 4:15, he says, "For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God." Everything that happens is for God's glory, and we, especially as his people, we are to give thanks so that God's grace can abound. Paul is explaining that as people receive the grace of God in their salvation, this leads to abounding thanksgiving within our hearts and within our lives. I remember a few years ago ministering to one of the people here of the church who was facing a life and death surgery. And the doctor very basically told that person, you have a 50-50 chance. Maybe you will survive this, maybe you won't. It's 50-50. I've never had that told to me, and as I was trying to minister to that person said, you know, whatever the case, I win. And I said, how so? Well, if I survive, I win. If I die, I win, because I will be with Jesus for all eternity. That's what it means to give thanks because of our salvation. The pattern of every Christian's life should be that we endlessly give God thanks. Why? Because we not only have our salvation, but we have everything in our salvation. Amen? Paul writes to that church at Corinth in 9:11. He says, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Unending thanksgiving. That's the result of all that God is doing in our lives. He wrote to the church at Ephesus in 5:4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient or fitting, but rather we should be giving thanks. That's what should come from our mouths. Paul was saying that when we open our mouths, we ought to come out with words of thanksgiving to the Almighty God. Amen. You know, when a person becomes a Christian, there is something different about that inner self. The Bible says that's why we are new creatures. Our old self has passed away. It has died and we are made alive. All things have become new. And built into that newness of our heart is a heart of thanksgiving that cries out to God in gratitude for all things. You know, it's hard to find someone more thankful than a brand new Christian. Think about that for a moment. Isn't it great to be around a brand new Christian? You see the excitement and the thankfulness, how God had changed them, transformed them, brought them out of a life of sin into a life of perfection through the blood of Jesus Christ. There's something to jump up and be thankful for that. Why? Because thanksgiving becomes the fruit of the work of the Holy Spirit within them. And really, it should be found in that person who has even been a Christian for a long period of time. Amen? But sadly, how quickly even some Christians can become unthankful. You know, a thankless attitude is abnormal for the Christian. That should not be our way of life. It cuts across the grain of this new life, this new nature, this new person that we have become. But perhaps we fall so easily into the sin of ingratitude because of our own disobedience to the Lord. And so the New Testament repeatedly and repeatedly calls us and reminds us to be thankful. Why? Because the overreaching umbrella that covers every issue of life is found in Romans 8:28. Read that with me. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. You know, sometimes the circumstances in our lives are not good. They just plain out stink, amen? I know that. Sometimes it just happens. I have been the recipient of walking into work and saying, by the way, don't show up next week. There's been a massive layoff. I understand that. I have heard those words when a loved one has passed on. I have heard those words. Sometimes life just isn't or seems very good. But that's where our faith comes in, because God can take a bad thing and turn that into a good purpose. Amen? If we believe that God is at work, if we believe that He is controlling all of the contingencies of our lives, blending each component together to lead a sovereignty-designed goal, yes, we can, as Paul says, give thanks in everything. As long as we are looking at the end result, we can be thankful even for the process that's less than joyful. Amen. Trying to figure out, what does that exactly mean? Here's what it means. We can be thankful for the pain of surgery if we know that at the end of that pain, of that period of pain, healing would come because of it. Amen? I have been on those types of situations where you've had a surgery and the pain is overbearing. But that's when the doctors and nurses remind you, you're feeling that pain because the body is healing itself. Just give it a few days. Just do what we tell you, and guess what? The pain goes away, and everything will be good. God can take those bad circumstances of life and turn them into good. Amen? Secondly, the Holy Spirit inspired thanksgiving. What does that mean? When the early church of the New Testament gathered together, one of the purposes that they gathered together was to give thanks. It was part and parcel of every worship service. Someone had a song. Someone had a prayer. Someone spoke a word from the Lord, but everyone had the opportunity to say thanks. You know, when we fellowship with believers in small groups even, we should take the time, and it's good to take the time, to just give thanks to God. Just give Him thanks. Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 5, imploring on people to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to read those verses there in 18. He says, don't be drunk with wine, wherein in excess. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. Now, what he's talking about here is we know that there are things will happen to our bodies when you take in alcohol and you become drunk and inebriate. You have what happens. You just do things. And so what Paul's trying to say here is when you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will just do things. Not in a bad way, but in a holy and righteous and good way. When you allow the Holy Spirit just to take over, you'll say, how did I do that? You were filled with the Holy Spirit. I remember me and Gene, Gene and I were on a mission trip to Guatemala several years ago. Maybe I've told this story, but it just always resonates in my mind. It was on a Wednesday evening. We had had services all week long, and that Wednesday evening, they had the monsoon rains come through. And the missionary we were working with, we had gathered at the church. He says, we need to pray. And I says, what for? We always do, but what for? You have this earnest thought in your mind and in your voice and your tone. He says, you don't understand. It's the monsoon rain. No one will come tonight. And I think I said, well, that's crazy that people are coming. He says, no, you don't understand. All these roads are muds. They don't have cars. They don't have umbrellas. They don't have rubber boots. They're not going to come out in rain like this. We need to go to the altar and pray. And I remember doing that. And we had gathered at the altar. Our backs were to the doors in the back, praying and praying. And you know, the Holy Spirit showed up. And I remember this. I remember hearing commotion in the back of me. And my first thought was, what is wrong with those people? Can't they see we're praying here? They need to reverence the fact that we are down on our knees praying. And I turned and looked, and the place was filled. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, crazy things can happen. Amen? All for the good. And Paul says, hey, don't be filled with wine. Be filled with the Spirit. You want to see an outpouring? You want to see some crazy stuff in the Lord? Be filled with the Spirit. Verse 19 says, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be filled with the Spirit. What will happen if we are? Well, what he says there in verse 19, you will speak to yourselves in psalms and hymns. Spiritual songs. You'll sing songs all day long. You'll make melody in your heart to the Lord. Joy, rejoicing, prayer and praise. That will be all part of your lifestyle. And because of that, he says in verse 20, you will give thanks always for all things to God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, according to Paul, a Spirit-filled believer is that thankful believer. He's a joyful believer. She's a praying believer. For if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, thanksgiving will gush out of you for everything that happens. Even in times of trouble, yes. Even in times of trouble and despair. For Paul says in Philippians 4:6, be careful or be anxious for nothing. Don't worry about it. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. We were with Brother Paul before he had his surgery, and boy, he was at peace. I remember that morning. He was laying in the bed waiting to be prepped and waiting for the nurse to come give him his IV. And I was there, just he and I, and you just had this sense of peace. He says, I'm ready, Pastor. We're prayed up. I got people praying for me all around the globe. There was a peace about that. A couple days later, we went back to the hospital to see him. Didn't even look like he had surgery. He was up, and Miss Jean, I don't know if I'm supposed to tell you that, Miss Jeanine, after you left, and he was up, and he was trying to shower and shave and do some things. I said, are you supposed to be up? He said, shh. But he looked great. And Brother Tom Ford was with me, did he not? And we said, we were amazed. It didn't even look like you had surgery. That's what happens when you are filled with the Holy Spirit and you'll have this thankful heart and we can rejoice. Even in the bad thing, we're rejoicing. Even though you had surgery, you had this cancer and it was a major surgery, we rejoice because look what God did, even through the bad. Be careful for nothing. Everything in your life, just pray. But make sure you're praying with thanksgiving as you let those requests be made known to God. In times of great anxiety or fear or worry or stress, the Bible clearly teaches us to be thankful. Colossians 3:15 writes, or Paul writes, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. And then he goes on, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. And whatsoever you do, in word or deed or all in the name of Jesus Christ, give thanks to God and the Father by Him. There in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul was writing that the responsibility of the believer in the Lord is described in terms of his heart attitude. A believer, a Christian, is to have this inward, incessant joy, continuing, unceasing prayer, and consistently, daily giving thanks to the Lord. These three commands, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, everything gives thanks, that is found there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16 to 18. All of those commands penetrate the innermost recesses of our redeemed hearts. Folks, if your heart has been redeemed, you've been saved by the blood of Jesus, you should rejoice always. You ought to be praying without ceasing. In everything, you should be giving thanks. That's not me saying that. That's the Bible that says that. And see what happens when you get saved and the Holy Spirit resides in you? You say, I am going to submit my will to the Lord's will, and I'm going to follow whatever's in this word. You can't have it any other way. You can't say, well, I want to get saved, but I'm not going to do anything with that Bible. It don't work that way. And so when you're saved, you have all of this in you. And Paul says, hey, rejoice always, even when you don't feel like it. Pray without ceasing. I pray a lot of times when I'm driving my car. I don't close my eyes, but I'm praying for people of the church and people I know and things in general. But we need to do that in everything, giving thanks, letting that penetrate our very heart. These are the best gauges of a person's spiritual condition. Amen. Don't you just love to be around someone who's always rejoicing and singing praises to God? Rather than some Christian that just mumbles and grumbles. And that's what Paul is saying. If we're new creatures, we ought to be doing that. I've been reading, you know, Numbers and Leviticus this month. I hope you are too. It's the books of the Bible. I'm going through Numbers right now. It's amazing. I always forget this. How often those Hebrew people just grumbled and complained. And there was Moses having to listen to it. And God would do another miracle. And about 2 days later, they would grumble and complain again. I think Moses at one point even said, man, God, take me away from this. This is crazy. Don't you want to be around people who are joyful and happy and giving thanks, even in the bad times? Why? Because we are trusting in God's way. We are following His will. And even though it all, hey, whatever happens here on earth anyway, it doesn't even pale to what eternity holds for us. Give God thanks in all things. A lot of people can carry out religious functions, But if they want to know whether they are truly filled with the Holy Spirit, we need to ask ourselves, am I always rejoicing? Do I constantly pray? Am I always thankful? Because see, those are things that come from within. Those things called rejoicing always and constantly praying and being thankful. Why did Paul put that in there? Why? Because it will lead to a right attitude in all of our duties and all of our decisions and all of our responsibilities, even in all of our ministries. Some great words. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And always give thanks. If you're not a joyful, prayerful, or thankful person, maybe you're struggling in the flesh. But when the Spirit controls you, and Paul says, be filled with the Spirit, these things will fall into place. That's what he meant when he said in verse 18, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I don't believe God wants you to get saved to just be grumbling and unhappy. I think the will of God is, let me save you, let me make you a new creature, and shower you with the blessings and the joy of knowing you'll be in heaven with me forever. You know that phrase of words that he says, this is the will of God, his command. All of that is for those, all three commands, not just the one about being thankful. God's will in Christ Jesus is that we would all have constant joy. We ought to be constantly in prayer. We ought to be constantly giving thanks. That should be what's ruling our hearts and our lives, not all of this depression and bad stuff and dwelling on the negatives. I've been pretty faithful to watch the news every morning when I'm up early and exercising a little bit. I'm getting to the point, I don't even like to watch that anymore. It's depressing, isn't it? I mean, I'm going to start my day off depressing. Well, this guy said that. Well, he's doing that. Well, he's not wearing his tie the right way. Well, he's doing this, and she did that. Oh, my goodness. By 7:30, it's like, boy, how's your day? My wife said, well, man, it's bad. The world's falling apart. And unfortunately, we live our lives like that too many times. And Paul is just admonishing, hey, you know what? You're filled with the Holy Spirit. And you can't say, well, no, I'm not. Yes, you are. If you are redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, if you are saved, if you've been born again, the Bible teaches the Holy Spirit of God resides in you immediately. And I don't think that Holy Spirit wants to have a life of just grumbles. So Paul says, hey, let me remind you, rejoice forevermore. Be in prayer, speaking to God. Give thanks. It's not only God's will it on your life. He says it is God's will to work it in your life. He says in Philippians 2:13, for it is God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. What part of that is talking about grumbling and complaining? None. For you see, God wills it and God works it by his Holy Spirit. That's why I say if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll speak to yourselves in psalms. You'll sing praises to the Lord daily. That's what is known as rejoicing. And you will offer that to the Lord each and every day of your life. You will offer up conversation to the Lord that's known as prayer. And you'll give thanks because that is the essence of the outflow from the inward spiritual control that you have yielded to the Holy Spirit. That's why Paul says, be filled with the Holy Spirit. As Marie was singing there, man, just, God, you have your will in my life so I can get out of the way. God, you just do your will in my life through the work of the Holy Spirit so I can get out of the way. God, you do all of that work in my life through the Holy Spirit and I'll experience these things. Well, I'll rejoice forevermore. I'll be in constant prayer because you answer prayer and I will give you thanks even in the bad things. Why? Because I'm controlled by the Holy Spirit of God. Giving thanks should be routine because we are filled with that Holy Spirit in the life as a Christian. And thirdly, why aren't we grateful? Perhaps you're thinking and looking at yourself saying, I wish that were true in my life. I wish I went around all the day singing songs of praise, offering prayers to the Lord and thanking Him for everything. But what is it that corrupts our inner thoughts so that we're not always joyful? Not always prayerful, not always thankful. Let me just quickly give you seven attitudes that form in our innermost parts of our hearts that could hinder us from being and living in this state of thanksgiving? First of all, there's doubt. One thing that may be standing in the way of our thankfulness is this. We may doubt God's character. Or we may have doubts about His Word and whether or not it can be trusted. You know, if we doubt God's truthfulness and character, we'll have trouble being thankful because we will not be sure that He's able to keep His promise and make things always for the good to those who love Christ. We may trust that He has good intentions, but if we doubt He has the power to deal with our issues, we won't be thankful. Some may even question God's love. They may say, God would never let this happen if He really loved me. You know, these doubts poison our redeemed heart. And because of that, it hinders us in true thanksgiving. And so we need to rid ourselves of this doubt so that our hearts will be overflowing with thankfulness and gratitude. Secondly, selfishness stands in the way of us being truly thankful. Selfishness, I'm talking about an attitude that says, I'm not content with the way God is working in my life. It's not what I want or desire. Maybe your heart is saying, if God does not come in and fix this picture perfectly, then I'll run and do it myself ahead of God's plan. And because of that, we begin doing things our way and not God's way. And when that happens, we're living in disobedience to God. And as a result of that disobedience, we end up developing this thankless spirit in our heart. A third thing that gets in the way of our thankfulness is the love of the world. This is someone whose vision is filled with pleasure, prominence, and possessions for what the world has to offer. There's an old hymn that says, "Be thou my vision, O Lord of my heart." You know, this should be the heart of the Christian's vision, to let God be the vision of our heart. We are to say, it is You I see, O God. It is You that I long for, my Heavenly Father. It is You that I desire, sweet Jesus, and it is You that I will live for every day of my life. And as long as that is our vision, here's what will happen. You'll see God's blessings pour into your life, and you'll become grateful and thankful. But if your vision is the material world, which is unsatisfying in every degree, you'll have no cause to give God thanks for anything. And when everything that we have attached our affection to does not fulfill us, that too causes us to be thankless, and we become ungrateful to the Lord. And fourthly, a thing that hinders our thankfulness is having a critical spirit. This critical spirit will steal away the joy and happiness and thankfulness of your heart. A critical spirit that criticizes everything, that it is not exactly the way it should be. It rises from an enlarged ego that says, I deserve better than this. It may even say, I've been hurt, or I've been wounded by someone. I'm going to let that pain ruin the rest of my life. But this kind of an attitude is a negative evil. It's of Satan, and it will destroy your thanksgiving to the Lord. Fifth is impatience. Some of us do not give thanks simply because God doesn't move on our schedule or on our timetable. Perhaps He doesn't move fast enough for our likings. We live in this age of instant. You know, I want my McDonald's in less than a minute. I want my coffee in less than a minute. I want my internet to work just because I pressed the button. I don't want to wait. And when we call out to God, hey, God, You got to do this. And we don't even get our eyes open and we expect God to move and we end up being impatient. Oftentimes we end up saying, thank You, God, I can see Your hand at work. But what I see is the process becomes and is slow. And I don't like that. Instead, we may end up like that child throwing a temper tantrum. I want it now, and I want it now, and I want it now. Hurry up, God, and hurry up and do this for me. You know what we need to do is not become impatient. We need to become patient with the Lord and simply learn to thank God for the process. Amen? The process is what? His perfect process, His perfect will to be done in our lives. Sixthly, The sixth thing that gets in the way of our thankfulness is apathy. A lot of people are sensing this in the church of today. Some people use the word lethargic. Others use the word cold. Some are using the word calloused. Some are looking at it as having lukewarm hearts. The third chapter of Revelation talks about the church of Laodicea. They were neither hot for the Lord, they were neither cold for the Lord. They were described as lukewarm. And the Lord spit that out. Can you imagine if you go to the faucet and you're thirsty and hot and you want some cold water and it comes out, you take a big drink and it's lukewarm. What happens? The tendency is to gag on it or spit it out. And God's word says, I would rather you be hot or cold. Don't be lukewarm. Don't be apathetic. Don't be lethargic. Don't be cold. But when that happens, it gets in the way of our thankfulness to the God that we should be so thankful for. I believe that there's a growing lack of love for Jesus Christ in the church today. We lack passion in our worship. Thank you for getting excited today. I was serious. I told David at practice this morning, I said, sing that chorus over and over, 10, 12, 15, 20 times. I'm curious as to what would happen if we did that. Would we just keep singing, or would people just kind of fall out? And okay, that's enough now, David. Somebody be in the back. Hey, do you know you're like singing it for the 12th time? Well, yeah. We're just being happy. Why are we happy? Why are you guys acting so crazy? We have a love for Jesus. Why do we have a love for Jesus? Because he died on the cross so I might live. And when I accept Christ as my Savior, the Holy Spirit resides in me, and I'm happy and joyful. And I'm thankful to God. But when there's lack of love for Jesus, we end up lacking in our passion for worship. We end up neglecting Bible reading and study. We don't spend time in earnest prayer. We waste a lot of time on the trivias of life, which are oftentimes leaving us empty, spiritually cold, and even lukewarm. And when we get to that degree, our hearts have no gratitude. It may start with the love of Jesus. The seventh thing is rebellion. We feel that our lot in life is just not what we wanted, so we purposely withhold thanks. Because the truth of the matter is, we aren't thankful. We may say, I'm mad and I'm unthankful and I know it and I'm just going to stay that way. We need to work at having a mindset that we're going to be thankful no matter what. I'm just going to be thankful. I don't understand. I know a person who's lost two husbands, two sons, and they still give God praise. I don't get that. I've never experienced that. That person has a mindset. I'm just going to give God praise. I'm going to give God thanks. If any of these seven attitudes invades our hearts, I believe the Bible teaches we're living in sin. And because we're living in sin, we are defying the commands of God. And because of that, we end up not giving thanks to God for everything. We end up defying the instructions of the New Testament that says we ought to be thankful for everything. Why? Because it starts with our salvation. It starts with our heart. This heart that God looked down upon and says, I can change you, I can redeem you, I can transform you by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm looking out in the crowd and it looks like God's done that for almost maybe all of us. And if he's done it for all of us, we ought to all be what? Rejoicing forevermore. Praying constantly and always giving thanks. So in conclusion, what's the core of all this? Can I just say this? The attitude of giving thanks in everything and being constantly thankful, it can't be drummed up on our own. That's why God works to will it and to do it of his own good pleasure in us through the Holy Spirit. He's making us and working us to that point of being thankful for all things. The Holy Spirit is thankful for all things. And if the Holy Spirit is definitely controlling my life and residing in me, it will produce in me what? A grateful heart to the Lord for all things. And here's the best part of all that. God does all of that for us. Amen? We don't have to just sit down and say, okay, I'm going to be thankful today. We can just cry out to the Holy Spirit. Say, Holy Spirit, the life in me, may you make me thankful. We don't have to do anything except this. Die to ourselves. Be totally surrendered to Him. And be in obedience to the commands of the Heavenly Father. And if I am doing those three things, here's what happens. I allow the Holy Spirit to work within me. It allows me to be grateful to the Holy Spirit and to the power of God in me and to live in a spirit of thankfulness so that when, no matter what happens, God will be glorified in all of it. And we are blessed. And what happens when we are blessed because of that? You and I and other Christians around us pick up on that sense of joy and that spirit of thankfulness, and we end up being in unison and of one accord and in love with one another again. The church is built up. The lost are found and reached, and we can have a tremendous impact on the world. All because of this, we practice daily thanksgiving, giving thanks to God in everything. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do give you thanks this morning.